Well, hello there. I'm glad you could make it. My name's Thurman, and it's good to meet you. Well, come on over and sit close to the fire. Pull up a stump, and I'm going to tell you a story. We sailed into Yokohama, Japan in April of 1953. Arrival was much as shown in the movies. Bands were playing, there was fireworks, and people were everywhere. We were transported by train to Yokota. All across the country, I saw houses built on, I should say hanging from, hillsides. I saw thousands of people and learned how their privacy works. People were urinating out in the open. The Japanese say that they look at nudity but do not see it. I was to learn that the Benjos were not segregated. I don't mean the U.S. and the Japanese, but men and women. Both sexes used the same outhouse. I was assigned to the 98th Bomb Squadron of the 98th Bomb Wing, Fusamachi, called Fusa by the GIs, within sight of Mount Fujiyama, which is Mount Fuji. Besides being a gunner, I was also a clerk and a squadron jeep driver. Our first Sergeant Bob was a big sucker. He had hands like baseball mitts. They had not been used to much of a typist. One of the first letters I typed was for Bob. He read it and slapped me on the back and said, "Good job." He nearly knocked the breath out of me. I weighed about 130 pounds. I told him I was glad there was only one page or he would probably have killed me. When I typed out the chow passes, one of the sergeants said, "It's Noonan." He looked at it and said, "Why, it says Noonan." The other clerks had been typing it Newman. As I mentioned, I was also a squadron jeep driver. The jeep was a World War II type jeep. It had two gear shifts, and you couldn't have upset that sucker with a bulldozer. I had to deliver laundry into one area that was almost straight up and down, and it was raw earth. The first trip in was a hair raiser. I was driving the first sergeant somewhere. I pulled up to a stop sign, shifted into low, and started to pull out. Nothing happened. I tried it again and revved the engine. Again, nothing. The third time I shifted and gunned it, and we shot across the road like a bullet. At the next stop sign, I caught him. Bob was moving the low-range gear shift to neutral. The only time I drove off base was to Tokyo Airport. You think D.C. or Chicago are fun places to drive. The drivers in Tokyo know only two speeds, stop and go like hell. On top of all that, they drive on the left, and the jeep was set up for right-hand driving. The rural roads leading into Tokyo were very pleasant, so all in all, it was not a bad trip. Outside the main gate was a place to rent motorcycles. They had the big Indian bikes, and you could rent them for a dollar or less a day. I used to ride all over, but did not go to Tokyo. Fusamachi, we called it Fusa, was a very small town, a few bars and some fish markets. At night, the fish markets were closed and the bars were wide open. All the bars played country music, usually from records, but sometimes they'd have a live Japanese band. The Japanese singers always sounded exactly like the original artist, but love always came out rub. Anyway, the closest city was Tachikawa. It was several miles from Fusa, and I often rode there. Tachi was outside Johnson Air Force Base, where I was later stationed. I tried for weeks to get a friend of mine to go riding with me. I finally convinced him. We got our machines and I explained it to him, the clutch, the gears, the brakes, etc. We were going down a country road and he was starting to relax a little when we caught up with a bus. The bus stopped and he forgot everything I told him. Instant amnesia. He put both feet down to try to stop but forgot the clutch or release the gas and he slammed into the back of the bus. Nothing was damaged but his confidence. He turned around and rode back at about 10 miles an hour. That was his first and last ride. He didn't do as badly as one man. He was returning from town drunk when he missed a turn and fell off the hill and into a honey tank. Now, Japan was a poor country with poor soil. To improve the soil, they fertilized with human waste. The man who cleaned out the Benjo, not banjo, was called a honey dipper. The truck was a honey truck, etc. Of course, the Americans named them that, not the Japanese. When man and machine landed in the tank, machine was still running, and human waste was flying everywhere. Eventually, the man got out and walked to the rental place and told the proprietor where to find his machine. The man jumped straight up. He screamed, "Ton Namanayo Bakatari de Sho, Kuddy Kuddy Pie," and a few more choice words. The GI just walked off. I was in a Benjo at a bar one time and lost my wallet down the hole. The bar girl said, "I fix." She went outside and opened a door in the side of the building, reached in and pulled out my wallet. She washed wallet and money and hung them up to dry. She said we'd use her money until mine was dry. A little about the money. A dollar was worth 360 yen. Yen is a Y with a bar across the base leg. A mixed drink or a quart of beer cost 50 yen. According to my calculation, that was about 14 cents. American cigarettes were worth a lot more. Three or four cartons at a dollar a carton would get you a cashmere suit or some Nartiki china. They would also get you some big trouble. We used MPC, which was military payment certificate, or monopoly money, and it was changed frequently. You turned in your old MPC and were issued new script. Then the girls would come running to try to get us to turn in their script. We were supposed to buy yen to use off base, but a GI would run out of yen and people would accept MPC. American dollars were worth a lot more, but were also big trouble if you got caught. A mixed drink on base was 25 cents. At the club, we had tables for four, the lights were dim, and there was usually a Japanese band on the stage. We had lights on the table, which we turned on for service. Japanese girls were the waitresses. In fact, we had Japanese workers for everything not connected with our job. The clubs had slot machines, which were set for 40, 60. I used to buy $5 worth of nickels, actually slugs, and play them till they were all gone. A jackpot was $7, and any of those I hit went into my wallet. We had an airman who was married to a Japanese woman. She was in the States, and he spent his entire paycheck on the slots. He would come back after the club closed, bragging about how many jackpots he'd hit. If asked how much money he had left, he would say none. We only got paid once a month. His wife came over after a few months and put a stop to his activities. I wanted to mention that the train system in Japan is one of the best. They connected to all towns and cities, and they were fast. I always bought first-class tickets, which entitled you to sit in the front instead of stand with the sardines. A few times I have had girls with me, and the big spending always impressed them. It was only a few yen extra. The trains looked a lot like the subways I have seen in movies. By virtue of my gunner's status, I had a midnight chow pass. We often flew at night and could eat when we got back. Now the cooks didn't know or care if you just got back from a flight or back from town. It was nice to get breakfast at 1 a.m., especially when the Japanese did the cooking in the KP. The Japanese were happy to have the job because they made more money than the average bear. I remember our dining room was being big, bright, very clean, and the food was outstanding. When we moved to Korea, things changed drastically. One time we flew from Johnson Air Force Base to the Philippines for maneuvers. I was wearing a special radio in a vest. It had a T-shaped antenna on it. Somewhere near Formosa, the pilot lost communications. He opened the bomb bays and I leaned out and talked to our controller, then relayed the message to him. We were flying at night and that wind was cold, whipping through the bomb bays. It was there that I used my RCT training. I think I flew two missions in 2 weeks. The rest of the time I worked on armament. I must have replaced a dozen holding poles and two dozen firing pins. Some of the jobs were more complicated and took several hours. During World War II, there were guerrilla bands in the Philippines called Hucks. They were fighting against us for them, the Japanese. While I was working on the flight line at night, I could see their fires in the hills. Occasionally, they would take a shot at the base. All of us had houseboys. We paid $5 a month to have our room cleaned, shoes shined, clothes washed, and ironed, beds made, and so forth. We got up in the morning, got dressed with uniforms laying out for us, and went to work. My houseboy had been a gunner on a destroyer during World War II. His name was Inju, and he was between 35 and 40 years old. We discussed the philosophy of the kamikaze and religion. He told me that every man had three obligations. Women were second-class citizens. The first was to Buddha, the second to the emperor, and the third to himself and his family. If any of the three could not be fulfilled, the only honorable thing to do was commit harakiri, which was ritual suicide. He said no one questioned the emperor about the war. A kamikaze means divine wind. The war was going badly for the Japanese. Young, dedicated pilots were trained as suicide pilots. They considered it a great honor to die for their country. Instead of dropping bombs, they deliberately dived their planes into ships to be sure that they had a direct hit. I talked with a bar girl who was a little girl during World War II, and she told me about the bombs falling and how it was when the country was occupied. She told me that the government had told them that the GIs would kill them. When they came, she said, they gave us chocolate and were very good to us. As she talked, she had tears in her eyes. Now, Japan has very little metal. Most of their metal for the war was bought from the U.S. They save pop cans, food containers, any metal, and reuse it. They sold us cigarette lighters with a squadron emblem on them, which they had made from salvaged metal. Their workers could do more with less than anyone I ever saw. The Koreans were pretty much the same way. Well, it looks like I'm running over on my time a little bit. Next week, I'll be telling you how I got my name. Until then, you have a good week, and we'll see you then.